Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Money Crimes is a podcast all about the dark side of finance and sometimes murder. Find Money Crimes on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now, from Wichita's most listened to sports radio, 97.5 and 1240 KFH, this is Sports Daily with Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester.
Hey, welcome in, everybody. Happy Tuesday to you. It is Sports Daily. It is Jacob Albrecht and Tommy Kester and Jad Chambers producing for you. We are excited to be here. Should be a fun Tuesday for you. We have Chiefs talk coming top of the next hour. Dan Israel will join. We'll see what Dan thinks about the 10-1 start. Is it for real? Are they going to be okay? We'll get into that with Dan and look ahead to a Black Friday game with the Raiders, and also just the wacky schedule the Chiefs have to play from here on out as far as timing. That will be daunting. We're also going to talk some Royals here in our next segment with Jalen Thompson. Our first visit with Jalen. Looking forward to that visit. You know, we got into a conversation that I don't think either of us intended to yesterday as it pertains to the Royals and the trade they made and how good is Brady Singer and how good is India and, you know, all these different things that it really got my wheels spinning a little bit. So we're going to bring in some help on that, see what the latest is, what the plan is maybe, because I think, you know, if this is chess and not checkers, as if this is a part of a series of moves, I think it's very different than if it just stayed as one move. But we'll get into that a little bit later as well. We'll take your calls on the IHOP hotline. It's open for this segment, and it's the official breakfast partner IHOP is of Xbox, celebrating with exclusive Xbox merchandise, games, reward offers for loyalty members. That number is 869-1240. We will give away some HTO later in the show as well. All kinds of good stuff. We've got a big KU basketball game tonight against Duke. We've got Monday Night Football from last night, I think, of impact as we watch the Chiefs constantly. Tommy, how are you this morning?
I'm good. Happy Tuesday. We're inching closer and closer to Thanksgiving. We haven't talked much Thanksgiving on the program yet. I mean, we're like, what, 48 hours away? It's going to be busy. There's a lot going on.
You know, programming note too, we will not be with you Thursday or Friday, and we will make our weekly picks tomorrow at 10 o'clock. The Shockers, who we would normally talk to on a Wednesday at 10 o'clock, are in a holiday tournament. Their schedule is conflicted as well, as they've got weird game times and have to practice. We've got picks to make, and we won't be here Friday, so we're going to shift that up. So we'll have that for you tomorrow. I know Tommy's chomping at the bit to talk about picks because he had a good week last week.
Hey, it wasn't just a good week. It was a great week.
I feel like, though, So here's the problem, though. When you go 6-0, but also go 0-6 a lot, I feel like you're with the rest of us right around 500.
A lot. I've went 0-6 one time. I didn't go 0-6 a lot.
Sorry, I thought it was twice. No, I thought it was twice.
I've gone 0-6 once. I've gone 6-0 twice. There's been a 1-5 or a couple of those mixed in maybe to the mix as well.
I don't know. Did your wallet reflect your good week?
No, it didn't. And I texted you that I had the worst beat.
Hammered this week.
I had the worst beat that I've maybe ever had with the Sunday night game with the Eagles and the Rams. I had a 4-leg parlay that would have, you know, got me a couple $100, and Kyren Williams was 2 yards short of his over, and that would have hit. That would have hit the entire thing. I did everything else. I got Saquon his over, a touchdown for Saquon, Matthew Stafford touchdown passes, and Kyren Williams was 2 yards short, and that was the worst beat I've maybe ever had.
That's bad. I had a half yard beat from Roma Dunze this weekend.
Oh.
This weekend was bad. Now, I will say I probably deserved it, honestly, because I've had a really good like last 4, 5, 6 weeks, but I got hammered. I didn't hit one bet. I was like 0-11, I think, in football bets this weekend. I maybe hit some college, but as far as the NFL goes, I mean, just got smashed this weekend.
NFL's really hard. I mean, I think NFL's harder than college football is. There's a little bit of, at least from like the top level down, like if you're just betting against the spread and things like that. I don't know. I kind of feel like college football is slightly more predictable than the NFL is. So I'd rather
make
those
bets. But I don't like betting it nearly as much. I don't like betting. Because I don't watch, like when it's the NFL, like I watch 95% of what happens in the NFL. Like very little happens in the NFL that I haven't seen, because I watch all the primetime games. Of course, we watch all the Chiefs, and then I watch like Red Zone. I don't miss much. So I'm more locked in. It's more fun for me to bet, but it's way harder because the trends get bucked all the time, the time. Rick chimes in, and congratulations to Rick. 9-legger for $128 bucks of profit, a 9-legger. Attaboy, Rick. Love it.
We've got a buddy that I don't know if we've talked about him before on the show that tends to bet, at least he used to, tends to bet like 14-leg parlays.
Yep.
And he'll, in the past, he's sent us what the bet slip looks like and all the different like wild bets. And he's never hit a single one, I don't think. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, I'll hit, you know, when I've been on a heater, if you tease him down, I mean, I've had some 6-7-leggers hit, but
we're talking like he's doing like, it's got like 10,000 to one odds and things like that. And it's there might need to be an intervention here. Like let's not bet 14 leg parlays anymore.
No, that's the degenerate fun. You know, I always tell people like, cause we talk and they're like, oh my God, there are people that will bet a whole lot of money on like straight bets.
Yeah.
And then there are people like me, and it sounds like Rick, who will bet like $5 or $10 on some crazy bets, and just like that's the way I like to do it. And yeah, I know
you're
and
making
I don't
need dart a lecture throws. From, you're, it's a dart
I,
throw.
I don't need a lecture from betting people to know that that's silly. Like that's what I have fun with, and I'm much better off betting smaller amounts than because if I make a big bet on something, then I get stressed. I don't like to ever get stressed about anything then at that point it's not fun anymore. It's fun. Yeah, Rick just said he bet $1.25 to win $128. That's fantastic.
That's the way to do it right there.
Rick, that is awesome. And no regrets either. When you see those, sometimes you're like, man, I wish I'd have bet $10. But no regrets. That's fantastic. But yeah, like if you get to the point where it stresses you, then it's not fun anymore.
Yeah.
Like I don't like that. I just have fun with like the sport of it. I tell my wife all the time, here's how I do it. You can do it however you want. Like I have one of the, you know, like the apps with some money in it. And I just use like for my fantasy sports, for my bet, like it all sits there and is just like this pool. So nothing ever really comes in or out. It's like this, you know, fake account. And I call it our fun money. So like we'll go, you know, whatever. And we'll take a trip or whatever. But yeah, it's once you cross over, like you gotta, like that's why I like the crazy ones. And that's why I like all the competitive betting sites, because they're all like competing for our business and giving us these wild and stupid boosters for people like me, right? Like for people like me, they're like, plus 20%, I gotta take that.
Historically, I've done it a different way than you have, where I put money into the account, I'll bet, and then I'll get it. I mean, if it goes down to zero, it goes down to zero. I'll have to put more money in. But if I win, I'll immediately withdraw that money and put it back in my bank account because I'm like, okay, I won. I'm not going to touch it. You know, that's my profit. I'm walking away. You know, so I don't have, like, honestly, all the apps, all the services, I think I have $0 in all of them. And then when I want to bet, I'll put in 20 bucks. And then if I win anything, I'll move it right back out. So I don't have anything sitting in an account.
Yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's just, it adds to, I love it. People listen to this show know I love it. And I know there are a lot of people on this show that love it.
Yeah.
And I always appreciate talking shop when I'm out and about and somebody will catch me and tell me about their bets or laugh at me for a, you know, for a bet that we lost. And that's great. I love that.
Can I get, this is a different topic entirely. Can I commiserate for just a second, you know, talk with you about something and our listeners? We haven't talked much Thanksgiving lately. And I'm feeling, you talk about stressing while you're betting and watching football games. I'm in charge of the turkey this year, and I've never done a turkey before. And I'm kind of stressed about it. Like, I didn't realize when I took that responsibility on that that's a big deal. Like, it's something that, I mean, everybody's kind of counting on you. You're banking on it being really good. So that's what I've been focused on the last, like, few days is researching and figuring out. I'm doing it on my Traeger, and so trying to figure out the best way to get that done. Do I brine it? Do I not brine it? How long do I smoke it? What kind of rub do I use? What kind of pellet chips do I, like, all that stuff. And I'm just like, look, I've smoked a lot of different kinds of meat before. I've never done a turkey. I've been stressing out about that for the last few days or so. And I sympathize now. I never really understood it until this year. I sympathize with all the guys out there who are responsible for taking care of the turkey.
You know, I have not. So my Thanksgiving has been, you know, growing up until I was almost 30 years old when I was around all the family. I'm the youngest son of five, right? That was never like, hey, you handle the turkey.
Not your
this
responsibility.
Year. You know what I mean?
Right.
No. I'm like, I'll handle Bloody Marys. You know, like, I don't, there's not that you just the pecking order. It is the way of things, right? And so then we move here. And, you know, when we first moved here, new man, and this time of year, like, Thanksgiving is an insanely busy time. It's, you know, there are no holidays. There are no days off in TV. You know, like, here in radio, we have network programming we can run. That doesn't happen in local news. Like, there is not a day or a time that regularly scheduled newscasts do not go on, unless they're preempted by, you know, some event or something. But even that doesn't really happen anymore. So you're either working Thanksgiving for that reason, or this time of year when you're in the sports world on TV, like, you've got everything happening. You might have an NFL game on Thursday. The Chiefs might be playing, or, like, on Friday, or high school football championships are this weekend. So you can't ever really do much anyway. And so I haven't ever had that responsibility. Now, and I think I've said this here before, back home, they threw the turkey out the way. They do prime rib on Thanksgiving now. And I'm like, where has that been? They do a big old rib roll. I'm like, what? Why was I wasting all this time on turkey?
Right.
Shout out to one of our great sponsors, Crestview. Fast forward to now. And I do work TV Thanksgiving. I just always kind of fall on that sword for everybody. So I'll go in and I'll handle all the shows. So, you know, the main crews are off and stuff. Now, thanks to our sponsors, the last couple of years, we've gone to Crestview and taken that home and made it. So it's mostly done. It's kind of like a stick it in the oven situation. Right. Totally not stressful. This year, we don't have any family in town. We got nothing. I've said this before, too, and you guys may or may not know. My wife and I have, you know, the side business, the HTOs. It's the tomorrow is the busiest day of the year. Like, absolutely, like, without question, except for when you open the store for the very first time. So that's insane. Like, right now, we've had an insane morning with that. And so we're actually just going to go to Crestview and have brunch.
There you go.
Then I'm going to go to TV work. And so I haven't had to stress. Shout out to Crestview, by the way, if you're looking for those kinds of things, if you're in a similar boat. And I've been surprised at how many people are like us. Maybe they're working. Maybe they don't have, like, there's a lot of people to go to that. And that's one of the great things. Check them out. You can get access to that stuff with just a social membership, even if you don't play the golf or the tennis or all the other great stuff. So give them a call. But that's what we do. So I don't know what to tell you. When we did Friendsgivings, and that's when we would kind of handle turkeys, we fried them. So that's, you know, it's dangerous, but it's relatively simple.
Yeah.
And it's delicious.
If you look
but
at
we
my,
just fried them.
If you look at my kitchen, I've got recipes printed out. I've got sticky notes everywhere. I've got things timed out, like when I've got to get it brined, when I've got to get up and get it dried off and put on the smoker, all of that. I'm kind of stressed out about it. I'll be able to enjoy the football games and everything. But man, like, I just want to make sure it tastes good for the family. That's the only thing that stresses me out. Can I tell you the quintessential Thanksgiving joke, though? It's my favorite of all time. Which side of the turkey has more feathers?
I don't think I've heard this one.
The outside.
Oh, dang it. I have heard that one. That is good. Yeah. I do enjoy that one. And shout out to, you know, KWCH 12 News, where I'll be tomorrow. They cater in like Stroud's every year, which is great too. I will be well fed tomorrow. Have no concerns about
me. And on Thursday, hopefully, because that's actually when Thanksgiving is.
Oh, that's
is.
What I mean. Thursday, not tomorrow. Whatever day it is. Thursday, yeah. And then for the next 4 days, Andrew asks, is turkey soup a meal? I would say, Andrew, it absolutely is. That's
absolutely
one way
not.
You could use all those leftovers.
1,000% not.
Yes, absolutely. If you want to throw it all into a big old pot and create some turkey noodle soup, heck yeah, that's a great meal, right? It's cold outside. Heck yeah, I like it. Andrew's on the right track. All right, we have a busy show. We're going to start it with some Royals talk. We'll continue the conversation that we got into yesterday. Went down a road we didn't expect. Our first visit from Jalen Thompson, the KC Star, reports on the Royals every day. We're going to get to the bottom of this trade. Do we like it? Is it one piece of a series of moves? All the questions about it, we'll have those answered next. Jalen joins us. Don't go anywhere. It's Sports Daily. It's Albrecht and Castor. It's a Tuesday. We'll be right back.
KFH.
On your way into work, want to keep listening to Sports Daily even after you park the car? With the Odyssey app and Odyssey.com, you can. Just download the app, visit Odyssey.com, search for KFH, download it today and get started. Found out yesterday we are getting close to 10,000 podcast downloads of the show last month. So thank you, everybody, for your support of the show, for listening to us down the road. I know that podcast, one of my favorite things that we're able to do. I know a lot of people listen to the show that way whenever it's convenient for you, and you'll be able to listen to this interview whenever you'd like as well. If you can't join us live, if you got to leave in progress, Jalen Thompson joins us from the Kansas City Star. First visit for Jalen here on Sports Daily. Very excited to have you in, Jalen. The timing is perfect because the Royals make, I mean, I think it's the first mega trade of this offseason across baseball, and it is a mega trade, right? Welcome into Sports Daily.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on, and you are absolutely right. It is a big trade, especially for the Kansas City Royals. When you look at what they wanted to do this offseason, they wanted to get a leadoff hitter. They wanted to get someone that can get on base, and acquiring Jonathan India and also Joey Weimer for Brady Singer does that.
So real quick, Jalen, let's look at this, because it is a fascinating, you've got college teammates. They were drafted in the same year. They were drafted in the same round. And like I know they played obviously different positions, but their profiles are way similar, right? Mm-hmm. They have shown flashes of being really good at what they do. They have shown flashes of inconsistency. It is an interesting trade. Just from that perspective, like these two guys in particular being traded for one another is pretty wild.
It is. You know, when you look at two players, like you said, that played on the same college team, they kind of took the same trajectory. Jonathan India was Rookie of the Year in 2021, and he had to battle some injuries, but he has played well for what he's been as a second baseman. He's been consistent, and then, you know, the power hasn't always been there, but he's shown some flashes. You look at Brady Singer, he's been great last year, a 3.73 ERA, I think, and he's really shown that he can command his pitches in the strike zone. He added a sweeper, a four-seam fastball last year, so he really looked like he took the step in the right direction, but can he keep that up going further in his career? I think his sinker averages around 92 miles per hour. So will that be something that he can play towards? So I'm sure the Royals weighed all those decisions when they made this move. And, you know, when talking to general manager J.J. Piccolo, he said sometimes you have to take a risk in order to improve your ball club. And that's kind of what they did here. They gave up on a young pitcher that they loved and adored in Brady Singer that they drafted out of college. But they got someone that they really needed to help support Bobby Witt Jr., Vinny Pasquantino, Salvador Perez, and the rest of the lineup.
It certainly seems like, Jalen, that this is a trade that maybe has been telegraphed for quite a while. You know, Jonathan India was identified as potentially a target for Kansas City going all the way back to the trade deadline. And then Brady Singer has been, you know, sort of speculated to be on the trade block for a little while now with Kansas City. So it certainly seems like this is something that maybe J.J. Piccolo has at least kept his eye on. Was it, in your estimation, partially the fact that the Reds tacked on Joey Weimer to the deal that finally got it over the hump? Or was this something that they've been discussing for quite a while?
Yeah, in talking to J.J. Piccolo, he said that you're absolutely right. They were looking at Jonathan India for quite some time, really going back to last season, and then it kind of ramped back up during the offseason. He is someone that they wanted to have be the guy that can hit doubles in the big Kauffman Stadium and steal bases and be productive. Someone that can get on base, like I said, for Bobby Witt Jr. And going in Joey Weimer in that deal did help take it over the top, because you're getting someone that could compete to be possibly the fourth outfielder this year. And if he puts it all together, he was a top 100 prospect. Maybe he could be something a little bit more. They like the tools that he has in his possession. And maybe with that great defense that he has playing in Kauffman Stadium, if the power comes around, it could be someone that they could use very well.
I think in a best case scenario, Jalen Thompson reports for the Kansas City Star on the Royals. I think in a best case scenario, both of these players in 2 years become very expensive. I think Brady Singer has the potential to be more expensive, which could be a win for the Royals. There's a pretty real world where both teams win in this trade, right? I'm a little concerned about Brady Singer going to a bandbox in Cincinnati, but this could be a win-win type of trade. I don't think I love it as much as Tommy. I do love that the Royals found a leadoff hitter, though, which was very obviously their biggest need last year. I mean, he would step in immediately and be the best candidate to be a leadoff hitter outside of Bobby Witt Jr. like right now. So that part of it I love. But both teams can win this. Yes, you think? Did both teams potentially get better with this trade?
I think both teams can win this trade. You look at, like I said, with Jonathan India and what he provides.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Having someone that can pretty much be on base 40%, maybe 50% of the time when Bobby Witt Jr. is coming up to bat. And if you have that capability, that forces the opposing pitchers to pitch Bobby differently, because you can't necessarily walk him, because then you have to have two guys on for Vinny Pasquantino and Salvador Perez and the like. So I think that's an important thing to do. And having a leadoff hitter just sets the tempo. And the Royals like to run and play fast. So you have someone that can steal bases as well, just like India can do. That just takes the Royals offense to another level. I still don't think that the Royals are done yet, because they need to have someone in the middle of the lineup to help lengthen it out a little bit more. And maybe they'll get that during the free agency or another trade at the winter meetings. But I think from the Royals' perspective, it was worth it because you have pitching depth. You re-sign Michael Wacha, so you can get rid of Brady Singer or trade him, even though it's tough. But you have pitching depth behind him. Kyle Wright will be coming back. You have Alec Marsh, Chris Bubich, Daniel Lynch, guys that can fill in, right? For the Reds' perspective, I think it's good because they needed another starting pitcher to go with Hunter Green and the rest of those guys. And the Brady Singer can really pitch well. He has a great ground ball rate that will play well at Great American Ballpark. So we'll see what happens with him. But I think it can be a win-win for both guys.
What do you anticipate, Jalen, defensively, this trade looking like for Kansas City? Obviously, Jonathan Indy has been a second baseman. Michael Massey is the current second baseman for Kansas City. Is this something where Jonathan Indy could slot over to third base, or are we looking at, you know, maybe Michael Massey not playing second next year?
So when we asked J.J. Piccolo that question, he said that the Royals still have to figure all that out, and I feel like they're going to have conversations going into the rest of this offseason into spring training about where those guys would potentially can fit. He mentioned that he talked with Michael Massey about potentially playing some left field to add versatility to his game. Jonathan India, he can also play the right side of the diamond at third base, and maybe he'll be a DH. They need him to. Maybe Massey can DH. But, you know, the Royals are always versatile. So they'll put guys in different spots. And, you know, the old baseball adage, when you have a lot of talented players, you can just put them on the field. You'll find a place for them to play. So I think the Royals will kind of figure that out. But for right now, they're just going to take the offseason, try to see which pieces fit where in spring training and go from there.
Jalen Thompson, you can follow him on X at Jalen Thompson, J-A-Y-L-O-N. Got a great article up that digs into this trade down to the nitty gritty. Let's look forward with it a little bit, Jalen. And I think this for me is where I would pause on the trade until I see what else Piccolo does. I would have rather seen a piece like Singer go to a middle of the order bat. We heard rumors of Alec Bohm, guy that played at Wichita State, so we obviously pay more attention to that. But that would have made more sense because I do feel like Singer is a and this is why they got two players for him. I get it. Very valuable asset. Yes, he was the Royals' fourth starter. He's going to go to a lot of teams and be their second starter, maybe their third. I don't want to just say, oh, they've got Daniel Lynch and Bubich and some of these other names to replace him, because those guys have had that opportunity for a lot of years now and haven't been able to get it done. So I just wonder, like, are the Royals going with three and then, you know, two spots for that collection of three or four guys? Is there any thought whatsoever to bringing in another veteran just in case, because it hasn't worked for those guys thus far over their careers as starters? What is the pitching plan? Because Singer leaves a hole. I mean, the strength of the team was starting pitching. If it's not the strength of the team next year, there is risk in that, I think.
I totally agree with you. And I think that I wouldn't put it out the realm of possibility that they do go and try to get maybe another veteran starter. I even wrote in a story, just if I was the Royals, I would look at maybe bringing back Michael Lorenzen. You traded for him last year. He can play.
First thing I said.
Yeah. He can pitch in the rotation, or he can be a reliever, so he has that versatility. And, you know, when they traded him, they gave up a good reliever in Walter Pennington, who really shined with the Texas Rangers. So if you want to kind of keep that trade even on level, you kind of got to want to bring back Michael Lorenzen if you can on a short deal, because he can be that bridge that you need. And plus, you don't know what you're going to get out of Kyle Wright when he comes back from right shoulder surgery. He might have to be brought along slowly. And if you like Chris Bubich and Daniel Lynch in the bullpen, like they shine so well during down the stretch in the postseason, you might want to keep those guys there. So you're going to have someone that can pitch in that fourth and fifth role. So I think getting another veteran like a Michael Lorenzen, or it could be someone else, but I think that could be a great stopgap for them as they continue to build out their roster.
You mentioned Chris Bubich, Jalen, and J.J. Piccolo at GM meetings a couple weeks ago said that they view Chris Bubich as a starting pitcher in their rotation. Do you think that, you know, assuming that he moves back to the rotation, either in that fourth spot or the fifth spot in the rotation, is that more about Bubich and how they feel about him, or is it more about they feel more solid about their bullpen, like with Lucas Ersig penciled in as the closer, if Hunter Harvey is healthy, some of those other pieces in the back end of that bullpen to be able to then move Bubich back into the rotation?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right. When you look at the Royals bullpen, you have Lucas Ersig as the closer. So you know that is going to be nailed down. The ninth inning is nailed down. Now, the hardest thing to do is have your ninth inning nailed down. So the Royals have that. So how do you bridge the gap to Lucas Irsay? They are really high on Hunter Harvey. There's a reason. That's the reason why they traded for him. They like his stuff, his velocity, and what he can bring. Last year, he dealt with a lot of back injuries, and that kind of limited him down the stretch. I believe he pitched in, like, maybe two or three games for the Royals, if that, before getting injured. So if he can get back healthy, that can be your eighth inning guy. Do you still have John Schreiber, who can pitch the seventh inning or the eighth inning? And then they are going to keep Chris Stratton as well for right now. So if Stratton can get back to where his form, that's another guy you can put in the bullpen in those late to middle innings. So if you have those guys kind of situated near the back end, maybe you do ask Chris Bubich to start again and fill in a role maybe as a fifth guy or the fourth guy in the rotation.
All right, Jalen, so let's project out again one more time, because now I think their need is attainable, and I would be curious for your take of how they will attain it. Are they willing still now to go spend some money and find that other middle of the order bat? Like, who bats behind Salvador Perez now, if it goes, you know, or Vinny Pasquantino, depending on who fills that hole? Because it is a hole, one we know they need. Can they just simply get it through free agency? Are they willing to spend that kind of money?
I think if you look at the current free agent market, there are a couple of names that could fit well. I'm sure you guys all have heard the name Tyler O'Neill being thrown about in certain rumors. And I think that could be a good fit for the Royals if they want to spend that kind of money, because he hit 31 home runs last year. He's familiar with the Midwest. He played with the St. Louis Cardinals. He shined with the Boston Red Sox. He can play all three outfield positions, and he's a two-time Gold Glover. So if you look at what the Royals value, which is defense, defensive versatility, offensive strong suits, he checks all those boxes, and he could be the perfect middle-of-the-order hitter for what that team needs. But it, like you said, are they willing to spend the money on that? I think it's going to come down to what Juan Soto gets in free agency, because he's going to set the market for everyone. So if Juan Soto signs, then what will the other teams that were in the Juan Soto sweepstakes like want to do? I always say, like, maybe there's a chance they could go out and spend big and look at it, Anthony Santander, but I don't think that might will be too far out their range of what they want to spend. So yeah, I'm looking at like the Tyler O'Neill levels and guys like that, just to see like who can fit in. And also, don't forget, you gotta have somebody to play on the bench as well. So do you bring back some of those veterans that you had last year that really played a big part and a big role on your team, like a Tommy Pham? Like, they love his aggression and his intensity, and that was a big value in the leadership department. Do you bring him back, or do you rely on some other guys in the minor leagues to step up? So they have a lot of decisions they have to make, but like you said, that fifth spot in the lineup behind Salvador Perez is going to be key. And if they don't sign anyone, then you're going to rely on, is NJ Melendez ever going to take the next step? Is Hunter Renfro going to be the guy that you thought he was going to be when you signed him last year? So those things are all weighing on the mind of the Royals right now.
This is more of a philosophical question, Jalen. This is the second offseason that we've seen J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman, for that matter, being aggressive and, you know, making trades. And, you know, of course, we know about what they did last offseason with Lugo and Waka, and then what they did at the trade deadline, bringing in all of the different pieces to make that playoff push. That was one of the major knocks with the Royals for so long, is that they were unwilling or really unable to go out and spend money, or didn't want to. They weren't able to be aggressive. What does this continue to tell you, the second offseason in a row, that J.J. Piccolo and John Sherman are really trying to be proactive in putting a team together that can go and compete and make it to the playoffs again?
I think it all boils down to particularly one player, and that's Bobby Witt Jr. He's the superstar of your team. You signed him long-term, and you made a commitment to him as far as being the franchise guy, the next icon of the organization. So you have to spend money to help support him in everything that you can, because he's someone that is going to be here for the long term. And you don't want to waste his prime years with a team that is not performing to the peak proficiency that they have. And I think another thing too is, if you look at how the Royals' identity is structured now, it's about pitching and defense, and pitching has really been strong. And a lot of credit goes to Brian Sweeney, Zach Bove, Mitch Stetter, and the rest of the coaching staff that really have brought these guys in. It started with Cole Reagans, then it went to Seth Lugo, and now Michael Wacha decided to re-sign back after just great years. So you have that nucleus of starting pitching plus Bobby Blue Jr., and you need to cultivate all that. So I think going out and being aggressive and getting things that can help uplift the team is a major reason why I think this philosophy of spending money has been so aggressive.
Right now, the Royals are the third favorite in the American League Central. Just as we're taking notes of things, and it is tight between the top four teams this year, between the Guardians, the Twins, the Royals, the Tigers. They're all under 3-1, but they're all tight. So Vegas sees it the same way. Jalen, excellent job. Let's do this again. Let's get you in here more often. Very nice stuff today. We appreciate it. You can go follow Jalen's work at the KC Star. You can follow him on X, find all those articles, dig deep into that trade. Brady Singer for a couple of pieces from Cincinnati. The Royals have their leadoff hitter. Go check it out. There's great stuff. Jalen, let's do this again soon.
Thank you guys so much. Let's definitely do it again soon and enjoy Thanksgiving and enjoy all that good food that's going to be coming your way.
That's right. Happy Thanksgiving, Jalen.
Thank you guys.
Nice stuff there. Excellent, excellent work. Tommy, we'll get him in regularly during the season. Yep. That was really good insight, really good stuff. Got everything covered for us. Man, that is a fascinating, fascinating trade. Notice he called Brady Singer a great pitcher, Tommy.
I get it, but I think the sum of what they got in return,
I don't disagree with that.
I love the trade. I think Singer is expendable. Didn't change my mind whatsoever. I think it's a great move.
I'm undecided on the trade because I need to see the other moves that the Royals make. If they bring back Lorenzen, I love the trade, right? I'm leery of, and Jalen, if you're still with us, Ken says great analysis there too. What I'm a little bit leery of is just being ready to plug in two of three from Bubich, Lynch, and Marsh into the rotation because now your starting pitching potentially isn't a strength anymore. And I don't think the Royals want to go down that
road. I think their
road.
Starting pitching will absolutely continue to be a strength as long as you've got Reagans and Lugo anchoring that rotation.
Strength at the top, yeah. But the depth was a big piece for
that's the
big
best,
part of it.
That's
for
the
them.
Best top two rotation in baseball, in my opinion.
Well, in the American League, at least.
Well,
yes.
At least in the American League. Maybe all of baseball.
Yeah, I agree. But it takes. But that's only 40% of your games, right, that those two are pitching. So we'll see. I think that they're going to fill out the rotation. Don't get me wrong. Like, I am predicting that I will like this trade before the season starts because I think there are more moves to be made. The other thing is now with India as a table setter, there's also a piece of if they get that other middle of the bat order, then yeah, okay, if they make their offense that much better and more versatile and dynamic, then yeah, I'll also be ready to swallow the loss of a high-quality starting pitcher. I just think those guys are harder to find, but it's not as, you know, it may not be as urgent this year. I love the trade because you don't see trades like this in baseball that often anymore. Just straight kind of, you know, good player for good player, two teams trying to fit needs and do all those things. Kudos to the Royals for making moves and continuing to stay aggressive. Man, there's a lot of momentum for that franchise right now. All right. If you want to comment on that, you've got a segment to do it next as we get ready for Dan Israel, executive producer of the Chiefs Radio Network, coming top of the hour. You can do that. You can leave us your video comments, Facebook, YouTube, X. You can find us on X and come at us directly there. You can call us on the IHOP hotline, or you can leave us a voice message on the Odyssey app. It's easy to do if you're listening to us there. We can take your calls lots of different ways. We'll come back. We'll have more Sports Daily for you right after this.
.975 and 1240 KFH.
All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Sports Daily here on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster. Our thanks to Jalen Thompson for hopping in the first time. We'll make that a habit. That was very good stuff. If you missed any of it, if you're joining us late, you can go back and listen on the Odyssey app. Lots of people. I mentioned it right before we came in there, Tommy. We got some cool news, about 10,000 people downloading that each month for the show here. podcasting's the way to go, man. Like, if you're not happen to be driving around in the time that we're on, you can still take in the show. You've always been able to do that with these video streams. Those get archived forever, but so does the show itself. It's really cool. So download the Odyssey app and just search KFH. You'll find the show. It's super easy.
And hey, that's going to be a segment for sure. So if you maybe don't have the time or the ability to consume the entire show from start to finish, which Jad does a great job of getting that produced and uploaded onto the Odyssey app and anywhere that you find your podcasts, that interview with Jalen will be a segment all by itself. So you can go back and you can listen to just that one if you want to. The cool thing too, by the way, I don't know if you know this, Jacob, but as much as we love the Odyssey app, maybe your preferred podcast provider is Spotify or Apple or something like that. Yeah. You can listen to our show on those major podcast platforms. And so it's not just the Odyssey app. You can find it wherever you find your podcasts.
So, and here's the other thing. We'll just take a quick aside here in a short segment. You can watch us anytime too.
You can.
So we always say we're on 12 News Connect, and I think people understand that we're there live and you can watch that way, and you can, and we appreciate that. The same idea exists. So if you're at home and you want to watch the show, because we're just so dang good looking, mostly, it's easy to do that. You download the 12 News Connected app on your smart TVs and on your smart devices. And the show, like, it's like a episodic type show just sitting right there for you. So that's also, you know, something you can do with the program. You get a day behind, you want to, you know, while you're getting ready, whatever it is, you can also watch us that way. So all kinds of different ways we're growing the show. We really appreciate everybody for being a part of it and can't say thank you enough. So we've got Dan Israel coming up top of the next hour. We'll get to Monday Night Football. I think as we're sizing up the competition as it pertains to the Chiefs, Monday Night Football was very meaningful in that regard. The Harbaugh Bowl, two teams we feel like are going to be contenders all the way through. So we'll do that in the second hour. We'll get you ready for KU Duke. K-State basketball played yesterday and finally opened things up. But I don't know if it's a little deceptive. I'll tell you what I mean later. Basically, they shot the three ball like crazy, and they're always going to be good when they do that. It's more about what do they do when they don't, I think, that's become the concern. But we'll get into that in hour number two as well. On the way out here of hour number one, let's give away some HTO. Great addition to the holiday meal planning, whatever it is you have planned. Maybe you got an office party, a potluck, you're having everybody over. You can get some gallons from HTO. It is super easy. You can customize those. We've got tons. It'll be our busiest day of the year selling those gallons tomorrow. So maybe you had a pre-order. Don't forget to pick those up. You can still walk in and just get them as you go. But we're going to give you, while you go in, maybe for some gallons, get yourself a free cup of tea and a free coffee as well. All you got to do to win a free iced tea and a free iced or hot coffee is text the keyword TEA to the short code 20357. These are good for any of the Wichita metro locations. So East Wichita, West Wichita, or Derby. You can enter once per day. Message and data rates apply. Good luck, everybody. When we return, Dan Israel. Is he concerned at all about 10-1? I haven't talked to him yet, but I'm going to guess that he is. Same concern we've had since they were, 8-0 or 7-0 or whatever it is. But we get into it a little bit. What did he see? Probably more concerned, I think, than we have been because the defense isn't playing particularly well. But we'll get into all of that with Dan. You've got Black Friday football coming. You'll hear that on Odyssey, by the way. You'll hear it over on the home of the Chiefs, KNSS. That's coming up on Friday. But we'll get you to all of that in hour number two. Stick with us. Keep those video comments coming on YouTube, on Facebook, on X. Thanks for watching, listening, taking in the show, however it is you do. Hour number two on a Tuesday coming right up.